the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. I'm Dave Ramsey, your host. Dr. John Deloney, number one best-selling author and Ramsey personality, is my co-host today as we answer your questions about your life and your money. It is a free call at 888-825-5225. That's 888-825-5225. Thank you for jumping in, America. We are glad you are here. So, John, we were talking before we got on the air, and I think it's worth just carrying that conversation forward a little bit. There is a there seems to be a movement or a stirring, and I don't think it's coordinated. I think it's just observation by several people who are good critical thinkers. That there's an observation by people like Michael Easter, who wrote the book Comfort Crisis, by some of our friends over at the Daily Wire, people like Mike Rowe, our friend Mike Rowe. There seems to be a separation in our culture right now, and a recognition of this like never before, between the people who are willing to work and sacrifice and have mental or physical calluses. Calluses on your mind because you push through, you persevere through something stressful, on your hands literally because you're doing like real work, versus quiet quitting, versus I'm going to work from home, which means I don't work much. I'm not really working from home. There's pretty much two categories of people. All the data is starting to show us people that work from home. There are those that work way too much, like become workaholics at home. They don't quit. They get up from dinner, abandon their kids, go back to their screen, and keep working all night. And then there are those that work like 2 hours a day and call that a full-time job and play with their children in the middle of the floor while they're supposed to be working. But there's this group of people that are bent on mediocrity. They're bent on doing as little as possible. They are bent on just getting by. They are bent on trying to, quote, cheat the system and someone else take care of them. And then there's this group of people that are kind of, I guess, old school, that are working, that have work ethic, that are leaning in. And they can be of any age group. It is not a generational thing. I saw somebody today railing on Gen Z. It's not Gen Z. Because I'm meeting boomers that are doing these exact same crap, one way or the other. But in a culture where an unusually large percentage has decided to do little or nothing, if you're willing to do a lot, you're going to stand out.
Oh man,
you got chance for success like never before in our world.
Right. I go all the way back to. I actually, and maybe I'm crazy, or I'm overly optimistic, my wife says sometimes. I think we got here with good intentions. Back in the, I mean, you remember back in the 70s and 80s, there were some studies done that showed, man, these folks who are CEOs and leaders, they've got good self-esteem. And so what we need to give these kids in elementary school is, we just need to tell them how great they are all the time. So they have good self-esteem. And what we missed after...
And then the participation trophy was born.
That's right. Everybody's going to feel good about themselves, and then they'll all become like that. And what we missed is, no, they became like that because they failed a lot, and they got hit in the mouth a lot, and they kept persevering, and they had people around them that walked alongside them. Similarly, man,
I just put a thing on Instagram. Everyone wants to win the Super Bowl, but nobody wants to get tackled by a 350-pound man.
And that's Tom Brady got hit a whole bunch.
Yeah,
right.
It's like
and his lineman got hit way more.
It's like getting hit by a Kia. I mean, really. I mean, yes. It's just. But I want to win the Super Bowl. But I don't want any dirt under my fingernails, and I don't want to hear my joints creak.
I think it's the old Bobby Knight quote. Everyone wants to win the championship. Nobody wants to practice real hard.
Yeah.
Right, and you don't put that time in. And I think we have a culture of folks who miss, they don't have a picture of what that gap looks like. And now I actually think it sounds old school, but I'm seeing it in the medical science and in the mental health science. It's a new wave of people coming in saying, oh, our bodies can't exist without stress and tension. It can't exist without having something to push up against. You don't go to the gym and lift a ribbon. You got to put weight on that bar. Otherwise, your body never grows. You don't get stronger. And so I think we have to teach a whole generation of people, here's how to get back up.
You know what part of it is, too? I mean, you used to get dopamine hits from stress and from leaning into something.
Oh, dude.
Lifting,
the
pushing.
Anticipation. Yeah, now it's
now you get dopamine hit from...
Everywhere.
From, well, this magic wand in your hand.
Oh, dude, yes.
You got a magic wand in your hand that gives you dopamine hits all day long that aren't from... But there's no real stress associated with it. And so there's this atrophying of character.
Right.
That has occurred.
And I used to tell my students, when Martin was marching across the bridge, Dr. King... The assumption was you're going to get killed doing this, and we're going anyway. That's different than the thumb warriors, I call them, like launching their grenades via social media. Like, there's this lack of, hey, dude, if you're going to get in the arena, you're going to get hurt. And that's part of the whole game. Not, you can't sit on the outside of the arena and pretend you participated, right? You got to get in there, and that means you're going to get knocked down.
But and if there is no toughness, there is no perseverance. If there is no calluses, there is no... perseverance, and if there is no perseverance, there is no success, and then the self-esteem. Not the self-esteem, and then.
And what you can't do, Dave, you can't lie to your body. You can tell yourself you're the toughest guy in that room. You can tell yourself, I can do it. Your body knows we're not ready for this. And
you're fluffy.
There's a gap, right? It's like, oh, I could do that. Your body's telling you, I don't think we can, man. I don't think we can.
Don't do that.
And so, man, get some true, real experiences underneath your belt.
When in doubt, bust up into something.
Yes.
When in doubt, overdo it.
Yes.
When in doubt, activity, not passive.
Right. We have a culture that's overthinking everything. Get out and start doing, man. Get out and start doing and fail.
And quit trying to figure out the macroeconomic Marxist angle on something.
Yes, go get a job, dude.
Yeah, just go work. Just go work.
What's that line your grandma had? I loved.
There's a great place to go when you're broke, to work. You know what I mean? Man. That's just that. But that's old school right there. And here's the thing. It's also new school because really there is no success without it.
Right.
There is no success in your marriage unless you're intentional and you work at it. Doesn't sound very romantic.
Every day.
But you got to, you know, when I got married, I didn't know beans. I've read like 100 marriage books, I think. You know, I started raising kids. I didn't know what I was doing. I started reading parenting books. You know, without doing it on purpose, without some lifting, without some stress, without some push, which always involves a callus is developing, there is no success. So
there's no strength. There's no growth.
Quit looking for the Amazon Prime for your life.
Take the hard path.
You can push a button and crap shows up on your porch.
Take the hard path.
Okay, that's not how life really works. If you've been trained by this magic wand in your hand to not lean into the strenuous activities, take that thing and drop your heel down on it and crush it and go lean into some strenuous activities. This is where the best parts of life come from. Ooh, that's a good start for the show. Open phones at 888-825-5225. I'm Dave Ramsey. That's Dr. John Deloney. This is The Ramsey Show. I saw some recent financial statistics, and there was some pretty troubling news. When families were asked how long it would be before they faced financial hardship if a spouse died, nearly one-third said they'd be in trouble immediately. Another 44% said they'd be financially drained within 6 months. People, it does not have to be this way. Term life insurance plans are just plain cheap, and companies have made it even easier by not requiring exams in many cases. There really is no excuse to leave your family in this situation by not having life insurance. This is why I talk about Zander Insurance every day. They're committed to protecting families with the only products that I recommend. And their team keeps the entire process simple and affordable. Go to Zander.com for quick online pricing or call 800-356-4282. This has to be a priority. If your family is in this situation, you need to get this done. Thank you for joining us, America. This is The Ramsey Show. Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host. Jake is with us in New York. Hi, Jake. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, how's it going, Mr. Ramsey?
Better than I deserve, sir. What's up?
So I'm 23 years old, and I'm wondering what I'm doing right now will help me set my retirement up, you know, at either 40 years old or, if I'm lucky enough, early.
Why do you want to retire at 40?
I don't know, kind of seeing my father who, you know, working every day and, you know, kind of breaking his butt. I was wondering if I could retire from my main job and focus on my main, my own business. I would much rather do that.
Well, let's do that before 40.
Yes, absolutely.
Why don't you just do that, like, soon? I mean, like, by the time you're 26, instead of 40. You don't have to be retired to run your own business. Matter of fact, you can't be retired and run your own business. The definition of running your own business is you're running the business, so you're not retired.
And running is the key word
you,
there.
By retired, you don't mean retired. You mean quit the job you hate and do the one you love. That's what you meant, right?
In the short sense, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you weren't going to, like, go fishing 6 days a week.
No.
At 40, that wasn't what you were talking about. You were talking about do something you love instead of a job you hate, which is what your dad did. So do a job you hate for a little while, make as much money as you can with a plan to open your business in the next 4 to 5 years, and then run a business your whole life. I had enough money to quit working by the time I was 40, but I didn't. I work more because I love what I do. I love running this business. I love getting to do this show. I love the things I get to do, and if I don't love them, I change them because I own it. So, you know, that's the game you want to get in, is where you're just leaning into your strengths and you're having fun most days. Some days I get tired and grouchy too, but
no.
But you've never seen that.
No.
Shut up, John. But the yeah, you see what I'm saying, Jake? I mean, so it sounds like you do a job right now just for money, and you don't want to have to do that for the rest of your life.
Correct. So I have my main job, and then I run my other job on the side, which I've been running it for the last about year.
Yeah. So do that for a while, and let's get the job the business that you want to get it up and running in the next 3 to 4 years, and let that be your plan instead of I'm going to pile up so much money and I'm going to work at something I hate for 20 freaking years. No, I don't want to do that, and no, I'm not going to tell you to do that. I would tell you instead, let's just, you know, make something you love lucrative enough to live on and grow it.
And Jake, this may not be you, man, but I hear this sentiment more and more. I used to hear it from my students, and I'm hearing it more and more and more. The idea of retirement used to be, I want to have enough so that when I quit working, I can, like, I've got enough to live on, right? And then that became, I want to have all these wild adventures. All the definition of retirement keeps moving forward. And now I'm hearing it with young people. I want to get to a spot where I can do nothing. And I will tell you, there is no quicker way for your body to shut down, your relationships to fall apart. You will hate your life if you do nothing. That's not a goal. That's not an objective to get to that place. So, like Dave, create a life that you want to live, man. Create a life that you want to be involved with. I had a guy on my show call yesterday. It was heartbreaking. It was tough. Amazing guy who quit drinking and has sober for X number of weeks now. And here's what he said. He said, I work out every day now, and I'm running out of ways to kill time. And he was asking me for some other things he could do to help kill time. And I said, dude, your life isn't something you want to kill. It's something to live, right? And so this idea that I'm just gonna get to this place when I'm 40, then I can just do nothing. that's a miserable goal, man. It's a miserable goal.
Yeah. Having enough money to be independent.
Ah, that's a good word.
I like financially that. Independent and have some autonomy is a good thing. But the goal is not to, you know, sit on the back porch and drink all afternoon. I mean, it's not, you know, this is not, what are you going to do? So I had a friend of mine sold his business. He had grown since he started really young. And he sold his business for multiplied millions of dollars when he was 32. And he, you know, kind of had that goal, like, I want to do nothing. He said, I'm just going to play golf and fish. And so he went fishing all the time. Mm-hmm. And he played golf all the time. And he said, I got so fat, and my wife didn't like me, and I didn't like me, and I didn't even like golf or fishing anymore. And it was two of my favorite things in the world, and I hated them because it's all I did all day long. It was like, if you eat enough lobster, it tastes like soap, right? It's not good anymore. Your favorite food, eat it every day. You'll hate it eventually. And so, you know, what he did is he went back in business and lost his weight and is the happiest he's ever been in his life. He does, has something to do every day.
He's got a purpose. He's got an adventure in life.
It, you know, honestly, bass and Titleist Pro V1s are not, this is not an adventure. Except on a limited basis. I mean, it's not, it's just not. You know, now maybe you're a fishing guide. Okay.
Yeah.
But short of that,
the adventure there is
I'm going to retire and be a person of leisure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is what we think of when we think of dysfunctional, zoned out, often drugged up trust fund babies are people of leisure with their seersucker suits sitting on the deck chair of the Titanic, you know, and that's the problem. So that's not what Jake's trying to do, but this is you and I continuing our conversation from the first segment here. And there's something to be said there's a dignity that comes from impacting things and moving things around. Good question, Jake. Thank you for joining us. Georgie's with us. Georgie is in Phoenix. Hi, Georgie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
Of course you are. I want to find out where I should be throwing my money. I'm currently putting more than 15% towards my retirement. And my reason for that is I'm just starting late in saving for retirement. Or should I be putting that at my house, like you always say, and get it paid off sooner?
How old are you?
I am 64.
Okay. And how much do you owe on your home?
About 146.
Mm-hmm.
146.
About how much cash do you have in non-retirement?
In non-retirement, 42,000.
What do you have in retirement?
38,000.
38,000.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And what do you make?
About 60.
Okay. So our goal should be two-pronged. By the time you're 76 years from now, I want the house paid for and I want a big nest egg, right? We need both of those. Either one of them not done is going to leave you vulnerable. And so the best way I know how to do that is 15% towards retirement and chunk everything else you can get on the house and work as much as you can work. If you can pick up any extra income even, throw it at the house. You'll get this house done. Then we've got even more money because we don't have a house payment anymore to chunk at retirement. And the last couple of years, you could really build up retirement fast. But if we said, okay, 4 years to pay off the house is $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
And that puts you at 68.
True.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's going to involve more work. That's going to involve more income than you have coming in.
Okay. Got it.
And so if you that's the kind of thing I'd love to see for you. It's not like you're going to die if you don't do that. I don't want you to misunderstand. It's not like, oh God, it's all coming. You're in pretty good shape. You're heading in the right direction. You're not out of control. But if you can have zero debt, including your home, going into your golden years, it stabilizes everything because your largest line item in your budget is housing. And when it's all paid off, your largest line item is no longer your largest line item. Ding, ding. So it stabilizes everything. That's where I want you to go. Good question, Georgie. Thank you for joining us. This is The Ramsey Show. Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. There are moments in life we don't want to forget, like your kid's graduation or the once-in-a-lifetime trip. For the big moments, the everyday moments, and everything in between, every dollar is there to help you budget for all of it. It's the simple budgeting app that helps you plan, save, and spend for the important things. Budget for the life you really want, every moment of it. Download the app or check the link in the show notes to create your free account today. Every dollar. Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Hey guys, if you enjoy this show, you can help us. We would appreciate it since you don't pay anything for it.
Dude, what else?
Leave us, five-star review. That helps move the needle on the listenership, helps people find us and all that kind of stuff. One stars are of no value. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, okay? So,
or say it about another show.
Yeah, just go, you know, trash something else or whatever if that's your thing. But the and also subscribe, click the follow, the subscribe on the whatever you do it, Spotify or Apple or YouTube or wherever it is, and share the show. You can send the links out. You can tell people that this show is on TBN now, that this show is on 680 radio stations. Just share by just simply telling people with like your lips and stuff. So if you'll spread the word for us, it makes a lot of difference. Help us.
I'll also say this, Dave, and these are words that I never thought would come out of my mouth.
Uh-oh.
You should follow me and Dave on social media. Me and Dave are TikTok sensations, and we are Instagram.
I'm big on TikTok.
Instagram sensations, so follow us there too.
Yeah, I'm a big deal on TikTok, so just check it out. I have no idea, but that's what they tell me, so who knew? A boomer on TikTok, so there you go. All right, let's go to Mary in Trenton, New Jersey. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, Dave. Hi, Dr. John. It's an honor to be talking to you.
You too. What's up?
So I live in Michigan, but Trenton comes into the equation. So I live in Michigan. My husband and I are in baby step two right now. Found you guys back in August, and you've been helping me get through a lot of housework. So I appreciate it. I'm always plugged in to your podcast.
Thank you.
We own a rental property from when we lived in New Jersey. It's near Trenton. And we've been rental property owners, or whatever you want to call it, for about 18 years. So that makes the upcoming change a little bit more like emotional for us. We're done. I know what you would say about having an out-of-state rental property. We're tired of it. It pays the mortgage, but we're just tired of dealing with it. And we do have baby step two and three to take care of. If we do sell the property, which is the plan right now, it will take care of baby step two. It will take care of baby step three, take care of capital gains taxes, fees, and all of that, and leave us with probably like $10,000 left over to invest. So I guess my first question is that the right thing to do? And my other question is, because I think I know the answer to the first question, is how do I feel more comfortable with this idea? And like after all of that money cycles through baby step two and three, and then being left with so little in the end, it just feels kind of like anticlimactic and disappointing. Mm.
Well, yes, you've got to do it. There's no question that it's the right thing to do. Because the way, if you pan back and look at these things, the way to make the decision and the way to feel better about it is to go, okay, 10 years from today, I've got two options. Keep this thing and whittle my way through this, or dump this thing, which I really don't even like anymore, and make major strides forward. So 10 years from today, which Mary wants to look back on this Mary and be happy with her, you know? So that's going to tell you to sell it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's also simultaneously how you feel better about it, I think, is, okay, this is a season. It's okay to say out loud, I'm emotionally invested in this, and, I'm abandoning a former dream that wasn't as dreamy as I thought it was going to be, called landlording.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be dreamy. 18 years in, it's not much of a dream. It's semi-nightmare, and I'm kind of glad to be out of it. But I kind of am admitting that I was on the wrong boat for a while, and now I'm having to change boats, and saying that out loud stings a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But all the while, you know, the grown-up part of you is saying this is wisdom.
Yeah, like we always looked at it as like, oh, it'll be an investment for the future, and
the future's here.
Future, we're Well, I guess. Like,
here you are. Here you are, 18 years later, living in the future.
It paid off.
I know.
Hooray.
I know.
Hey, Mary, have you ever not owed anybody anything?
No.
Have you ever had like an air conditioner break or a roof leak and you started laughing?
No.
So
no, never.
You're talking to two guys who are on the other side of that, who mm-hmm. both of us have paced around the house unable to breathe because our wives were asleep and we didn't know how we were going to pay our bills. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to tell my wife that our net worth was in the negative by hundreds of thousands of dollars. I didn't know how to say those words. And now I can tell you on the other end, when our air conditioner busted and we started dying laughing. Not because we're rich or we got money, but we had an emergency fund.
And no debt.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't owe anybody any money. And so we started laughing, not because we're happy to spend 10 grand, but because, of course, it happens right around Christmas or whatever the thing was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So yeah. It's not me being flippant. It's me being saying, what I can tell you on the other side of where you are, peace is worth everything you will go through selling this house.
Yeah. I think more than anything, you're just grieving the thing that, oh, I thought this thing was going to be the answer to all my problems, and now all these 18 years later dealing with it, it's not. It just helps a little. And so it was a disappointment.
Yeah. You got to grieve it, man.
It's not what you thought it was going to be.
I thought I'd have 30 houses in 18 years, right?
Yeah.
I got one, and I don't like it.
And it's not even fun. So, yeah, it's time to do it. Be the grown-up. Hold your breath. Hold your nose. Get your work done. Eat your broccoli. And then you'll be healthy and strong. Josh is in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hey, Josh, what's up?
Hey, Dave. How are you doing?
Better than we deserve. How can we help?
So I just had a question about college versus career. So I had a career beforehand, and then me and my wife decided this last year that I'd go ahead and go back to college for an engineering degree. I'm just kind of second guessing it because it's just we went from such a much larger income down to a single income, and I'm just kind of wondering if maybe I should just go back to working full time at my previous career, or if I should continue with college.
How long is your career going to be? How long are you going to make less money?
It'll be for the full 4 years while I'm in college,
and then on the back end, how much more money are you going to make?
Hopefully around like $20,000 more or so. I don't think it's going to be
okay.
Very
when you started this process, you knew every bit of this.
Yeah.
What changed?
I think it's just.
I'll tell you, engineering's hard. Right?
That too.
And there's a bunch of 20-year-old knuckleheads in there that don't know what they're like, and they're complaining about stuff, and you're like, you have no idea about the real world, and it's a drag, and you don't like homework, and you want to play with your kids and do whatever. It just, it sucks.
Right.
And so you want to quit.
Well, I feel like that's part of it, and part of it's just like, I kind of have money as a big security blanket for me because
you knew that before you started this.
I didn't have a lot of it around. So,
you knew that before you started this. That doesn't change. So other than engineering's hard, what changed?
I think I just want to have more money saved up in the long run, I suppose. And I thought I'd be a little more comfortable with it than I am like now. But
in two different times when I chose to go back for a not just to spend money on a nonsense degree, but with an intentionality for a career on the other side of it, it's worked out exponentially for me. That's all I can tell you. Okay. My personal experience. I've done it twice.
So what does your wife make?
She makes $75,000 a year.
What did you used to make?
I used to make $70,000.
And what do you make now?
Nothing. I don't make anything. She's
You're not
really
working?
No.
Why?
It was just kind of challenging with all the homework and extra stuff on the side.
Oh, come on.
I got two PhDs with a full-time job, brother. No sympathy here. Get a job, too.
Come on. Go work.
You can do it.
And kids work in college all the time, dude.
Don't quit now,
you're like
man.
A grown-up and stuff. You can still work while you're in college. Be easier for you because you're more mature. Yeah, I got homework. No, you're get a job, man. And finish your dadgum degree. Plow through. You got this. It's worth it. This is The Ramsey Show.
Hey guys, it's Rachel Cruz here to tell you about a faith-based alternative to health insurance that can make healthcare more affordable. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM allows members to share each other's healthcare costs, and it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Step 1, choose the healthcare provider you want. Step 2, submit your eligible bills. And step 3, get reimbursed. CHM members take care of your eligible medical bills. With no network and the freedom to choose your healthcare provider, CHM is the best option for Christians who want to take care of their families and help other believers. Find out more at chministries.org/budget. That's chministries.org/budget.
Wow, credit card debt is at an all-time high in history. More credit card debt than any time in history right now. With debt payments and inflation stealing more and more of your paycheck, a lot of people feel like they're drowning and they're scared to death. They don't have enough to take care of your family. If you're ready to say, I've had it, we're ready to help you. Financial Peace University will do it. It's our 9-lesson course that teaches you how to beat debt and build wealth. It's everything you wish you'd learned about how to handle money. Nearly 10 million people have taken Financial Peace University, and they'll tell you that they don't worry about money like they used to. They're in control, and you can be too. So decide you're done with the stressing out. Decide you're done with the losing the money battle. It's just silly. I mean, time to change something. Start Financial Peace University at RamseySolutions.com/FPU. RamseySolutions.com/FPU. Thanks for joining us, America. Eugene, Oregon. Tyler's up. Hey, Tyler, welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hello. How you guys doing?
Better than we deserve. What's up?
Okay, so I'm an electrical contractor, and I have a commercial property. We live in the back portion of it, but I'm upgrading the front for storefront, and I need to build an accessory building because I'm branching out to a lighting store, and I need storage. But I want to pay off my loan ASAP. And I don't know which way, if I should expand the business and try and bring more money or just pay it off and then do it in a year or two. Actually, probably next year, pay the loan off or do it this year. That's really the question.
Yeah. So 1 year swing.
Yeah.
Okay. So you pay your loan off. Your loan on what?
The property.
Okay. So the commercial building has a loan.
Yes.
And either you have a stack of money, and that stack of money will either pay that loan off or build the storage. And if you pay the loan off, then you can build the storage next year.
Yes.
Do that. Pay the loan off now. No brainer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You want to know why?
Well, sure. Yes, I would.
Don't do it because I said do it. Do it because you know why. Okay.
Okay.
No risk. When you're running a business and you have little to no risk because you don't have a mortgage anymore, you make different decisions. You're more bold. You're more creative. You're more turned loose into the business. I am much more bold with our business decisions because I don't have any stinking payments anywhere in my life. And none of those decisions are going to be the end of me financially. And so I can reach over there and drop some coin on something and hope it works and do everything I smart and wise and try to make it work. But if it doesn't work, it's not the end of me. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
And so what you can't really put into numbers is this entrepreneurial freedom and boldness and creativity that happens when you don't have any debt anymore, because stuff is going to come at us. I mean, we've got inflation coming at us. We've got, pandemic quarantines coming at us. We got balloons coming at us. We got stuff coming at us everywhere.
Our pets' heads are falling off. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. We got stuff coming at us everywhere. And so, you know, you just have all these threats, these existential threats.
You don't know where
there.
They're coming.
And you don't know when they're coming. What's the next thing going to be?
I guarantee you, if you had polled a million Americans, a giant balloon floating across the sky would not have entered anyone's next
Not a
threat.
Single person's mind.
Not one.
Not even the conspiracy theories,
Rachel could not have cooked up a balloon.
Rachel Cruz, the king, queen of conspiracy theories, would not have entered into the balloon world.
Nope.
So, I mean, there's,
you never know,
dude. There's always an existential threat. I mean, and if not, just watch the news. They'll give you one. And so, you know, the thing is, and the truth is, there's outside variables coming at you all the time in business. And they are. They do.
Somebody opens up a shop right across the street, or
they do create risk. And all of a sudden you're going, I'm really glad I don't have any payments. And that means I can go to this, and I can counterpunch this way, and I can fight this one to the death. And I can choose to walk away from that other one. And you got all kinds of stuff here. It changes the way you walk, changes your body language. You know, it's hard for me to describe, but I've been working with small business leaders for 25 years, teaching people this, and I see it all the time. I see their world expand and grow when they get rid of the weight that they didn't even know was there.
Hmm. And my guess is you probably build a different shop a year from now. You don't have any payments.
Let me tell you this. For sure, if you build anything with debt or you build it with cash, you will build different.
That's right.
100%. Because that cash is like real money. And that debt is like, it's somebody else's money. It's like monopoly money. You do not emotionally pay attention with borrowed money like you do when it's your freaking money.
That's right.
Even if you guys just buying a car out there just for your house, right? It's not a business decision. We're going to go buy a car. And when you pay cash, you're like, we're studying this puppy. I'm going to read every article on it. And, you know, I don't know, the green ones don't have good resale, you know. And
this one's got it for $48 cheaper. I'm going to go to that car.
Yeah. Right? And you're borrowing money to do it, you're like, yeah, I'll just sign right here. I'm out of here. I gotta go to Chick-fil-A. I'm out of here. You know, it's like, Connie's with us. Connie is in Phoenix. Hi, Connie. How are you?
Doing great today, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Sure. What's up?
Was in a vehicle accident on January 2nd. Hit and run. Vehicle was totaled.
You okay?
Find myself without a vehicle. Yeah, nothing. Time won't heal.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Some stitches in the eye.
That's a real wreck.
Some neck pain, but nothing that time won't heal. I'll be fine.
Wow. So. I'm sorry. That's scary as crap.
Yeah, a little bit. But now I have to buy a new vehicle. Obviously, insurance isn't going to give me near what the vehicle is worth.
No, they are.
The
vehicle is worth exactly what they're going to give you. That's what the policy says.
Maybe my idea of what the vehicle's worth.
No, anyway. Your idea of vehicle worth. I'm not talking about that. The market value of the vehicle, they are legally bound to give you the money for it.
Right.
And which
right.
means you can go buy another vehicle exactly like you had for that amount of money.
And I guess that's where the question is, and I need help not to do something emotionally.
You want to upgrade from the wreck.
Well, I don't know if we need a truck anymore. And yes, my son just bought a new Cadillac CTS, and then I'm looking at the version of the CTS-V, not a new one, a used one, but I don't know if that's too much money to spend on a car, even if I have the money.
Do you have the money?
I would be close. Depending on what they give me, the settlement on the truck's not done yet.
Okay. Rule number one is if you don't have the money, end of discussion, you don't buy it. It's a stupid car. So you either got the money or you don't buy the car, number one. Number two is it too much car? A good rule of thumb is cars and things with wheels and motors of any kind go down in value always. And so things with wheels and motors that you have in your possession, in your name, should not total up more than half your annual income. Otherwise, you have too much invested in things that go down in value. So what's the Cadillac cost?
67.
Okay. What do you make?
135.
Household income?
Add another 22, so 157.
157. What's mama's car worth?
Well, mama doesn't have a car. There's a 1970 Camaro sitting in the garage, 3/4 of the way restored. So it's
your wife doesn't drive a car.
No, we got by with the truck. The truck was our only running vehicle. That
okay.
I have a company car that we can use.
Okay, so the Camaro is worth what?
In its present state, probably 15.
Okay. So you can afford the 67 if you got the cash. But if you don't have the cash, you can't do it. No upgrades due to Rex that put you into debt. Nope, 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 nope.
And don't say things like, it's going to make me make an emotional decision. You're going to choose that. That's a choice. Don't make that choice.
Yeah, you've already said it out loud, so it's no longer emotional. Now it's intellectual.
That's right. Dave Byrne.
This is The Ramsey Show.
Hey, it's Dr. John Deloney. If you love the show and want a deeper dive on your money journey, we have a weekly newsletter that gives you trending and helpful articles and tips on following the Ramsey way. Just go to RamseySolutions.com today to sign up for our newsletter. Again, that's RamseySolutions.com to sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.